And this is before he married his 13-year-old cousin.
It's just great balls of fire.
In 1957, there was the darker sound of Gene Vincent, looking all tough and greasy in his leather jacket.
Well, Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby. Bebop Luna, I don't mean my baby. Bebop Luna, she's my baby.
And then there was Eddie Cochran, whose songs about teenage boredom were later covered by Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols. Craze had begun in Southern California, and long before the Beach Boys sang about driving to the beach in their little Deuce coupe to catch a wave, there was Dick Dale. Dick played his guitar left-handed and upside down, and he managed to coax so many new sounds out of his guitar that he became a consultant for the Fender Company, testing amplifiers and portable reverb units. Now, Dick Dale never had a top 40 hit, but anyone who heard him play the guitar never forgot that sound of power. By 1963, teenagers around the world were anxious to make music of their own. Some could play their instruments, some couldn't. And really, not being able to play wasn't really that much of an issue. The important thing was just to go ahead and do it. The Kingsmen and Louie Louie, they recorded their slop rock anthem for $50. The completely unintelligible lyrics were rumored to be pornographic, but not even a six-month sound analysis test by the FBI could prove that. See, no one was trying to hide anything. The singer wore these heavy braces on his teeth, and he was forced to sing up into a single overhead microphone, so no wonder he couldn't enunciate. The Kingsmen launched the era of the American garage band, groups that were often rough and ragged and who got risque from time to time with their material. Take, for example, Question Mark and the Mysterians. In 1966, they released a song that was supposed to be called 69 Tears. But, fearing that the connotations of the number 69 would offend people, their record company persuaded the group to make a change.
Too many teardrops.
Throughout the mid-60s, bands popped up in garages all across North America. We had the Seeds, the Count Five, the Barbarians, the Standells, the Troggs. Some of these bands wore leather jackets as part of their getup, giving them a rebellious James Dean kind of look. Some observers said these jackets made them look like punks. A few of these garage bands managed to have hit singles, but most of them did not. They remained underground, popular with a certain type of music fan, the kind that liked their music rough and raw and real. See, even as rock celebrated its 10th birthday, it had begun to segment and stratify. There was the acceptable mainstream stuff at the top, and the music that wasn't ready or interested in prime time. A new musical subculture was being born. And as all this was happening, three guys who would have incalculable effects on the development of alt-rock were just starting out. Nobody knew who they were, and no one could have foreseen the influence that they'd have. We'll meet them for the first time in moments.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Please take notes. There will be a quiz.
107.3, The Edge.
Hey, honey, did you see our heating bill this month? Wow.
Don't remind me. We're wasting too much money because of our old windows.
WindowMart is a trusted partner for windows and door replacement projects. Book your free in-home consultation today at windowmart.ca.
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
To listen again, press 1.
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
To listen again, press...
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
To listen...
Hey, honey, I'm on my way. See you soon.
When you lose someone, the first thing you forget about them is their voice. With your help, we can prevent more lives from being silenced. MAD Canada. No alcohol, no drugs, no victims. Find out more at mad.ca.
Hey, folks, lease a 2025 Atlas, Crossport, or Taos from only 2.99%. Plus, get 3 years of prepaid maintenance from Fifth Avenue Volkswagen. See dealer for details. Valid with VW Loyalty Program. Only at Fifth Avenue Volkswagen and fifthavvw.com.
Alpine News Network is here live with one of our superheroes.
Joe and Lucy needed a new roof and reached out to Alpine Credit. I flew over to help them with a home renovation loan. I suggested they transform their house into a giant robot head. Beams that shoot from the eyes. Pew, pew. Instead, they just went with shingles. But it's pretty glorious.
Own your home? Need a loan? Alpine Credits can help.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Take back your free time with PC Express Online grocery delivery and pickup. Score in-store promos, PC Optimum points, and more free time. And still get groceries. Shop now at pcexpress.ca.
Home Network is here.
We are so lucky to be a part of this.
Every Thursday, watch heartwarming programs like an all-new Extreme Makeover Home Edition at 8.
We have 96 hours to build a house.
And Honest Renovations, starring Jessica Alba and Lizzie Mathis at 9.
Changing these homes, we can change families.
There's no place like it. Home Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Tangerine, official launch partner of Home Network.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
By 1965, three guys, two Americans and a Brit, had started their music careers. They weren't doing very well, so no one paid much attention. David Jones was a young saxophone player who loved Little Richard. The first time anyone really heard about him was when he appeared on a BBC News program in November of 1964 as the founder, president, and spokesman for the International League for the Preservation of Animal Filaments. This was an organization devoted to making it acceptable for young British men to wear their hair long. Earlier that year, June 1964, David had released his first ever single. He called his group the King Bees, and the song was called Lie to Jane.
Little Liza.
David Jones and the King Bees, Liza Jane, released June 1964. In 1966, David Jones would change his name to David Bowie to avoid being confused with Davy Jones, who was the cute little English dude on the TV show The Monkees. We'll come back to Bowie later. Meanwhile, in Detroit, a guy named Jimmy Osterberg was doing his best to keep from being sent to Vietnam. One story says he faked being gay and or insane at the Army recruiter's office. Whatever he did, it worked. Jimmy was sent away, and he was able to go back to being a drummer for hire. Now, Jimmy was pretty good. He played on the occasional Motown record, but he also gigged with his own band, the Iguanas. And here's what he was doing in 1964. Singing and playing the drums for the Iguanas. Because he played for the Iguanas, he got the nickname Iggy. And after he shaved off his eyebrows after drinking too much, someone remarked that he looked an awful lot like a local druggie called Jim Pop. And that's how James Osterberg became known as Iggy Pop. Our third guy from the early 1960s could be the most important because his work had a tremendous effect on both Iggy and David Bowie. This dude is key. Louis Allen Reed was born in Brooklyn. He started playing in bands in the late 1950s, in between the times his parents sent him for electroshock therapy to cure him of what they believed to be homosexual tendencies. Hey, it was the 50s. Lou's earliest band was The Shades, and they were into the doo-wop of the day. Then he moved west to Syracuse University, where he studied film, journalism, and creative writing while also working as a part-time DJ on a local radio station. By September 1964, he was back in Manhattan, where he got a job as a staff songwriter at a label called Pickwick Records. For $25 a week, he was paid to churn out songs for budget albums that would be sold for a buck in department stores and furniture stores. This kind of prefabricated crap was very common back then, and Pickwick made a lot of money doing this. In November 1964, Lou recorded a song called The Ostrich. This was supposed to grab a piece of the dance crazes of the day, you know, the twist and the mashed potato and all that. And it sounded like this.
Okay, I want everybody to settle down now. We got some news I'm going to show you. I'll knock you down when we come upside your head. You get ready? You said here we go. Yeah, all right, come on. Come on, let's go. Yeah.
Primitives, featuring Lou Reed on vocals. That dates from November 1964, just as David Bowie was defending his long hair on British TV, and just as Iggy Pop's band was opening shows for the Shangri-Las in Detroit. A few months later, Lou and his bandmate, the Welsh-born John Cale, would be part of what is considered to be the first ever alternative rock band, the Velvet Underground. Now, the Velvets started coming together in the spring of 1965. They started recording the rehearsals that summer, and by December, the lineup was complete. There was Lou and John, guitarist Sterling Morrison, and drummer Mo Tucker. Yeah, a woman drummer. That was radical, and she played like a radical. See, instead of sitting down behind a standard kit, she played standing up, with bass drums turned on their sides, and she whacked everything with mallets instead of sticks. Taking their name from a trashy book on S&M sex by Michael Lee, they played their first paying gig on December 11th, 1965. It was a high school in New Jersey, and they were paid $75. In the spring of 1966, they began a residency at a club called the Café Bizarre. This was in Greenwich Village. And one guy who heard about their raw and gritty approach was Andy Warhol. Yeah, the pop artist. He immediately took them into his circle, hiring them to play the freaky parties at The Factory, Warhol's New York headquarters. Warhol became the Velvets' mentor and chief patron, encouraging them to hire on a German model named Nico for visual interest. And he even produced the band's 1967 debut record. Okay, he was credited as being the producer, but he didn't really know much about making records. He was just there to inspire and encourage them. He didn't touch anything. Left to their own devices, the Velvet Underground turned out an album that was scandalous and shocking. It was noisy and angry, and had themes of sex and drugs and life on the street and S&M and the awesomeness of just getting wasted. And while even the most daring hippie bands of the day were simply alluding to having sex and using drugs, Lou Reed was there actually describing it.
lost my life because of Mena. To my pain leads to a sinner.
Velvet Underground's debut record, which was called The Velvet Underground and Nico, that's Heroin. I cannot emphasize how shocking that song was for 1967. The album was just too raw and too real to gain any kind of mainstream attention. The album reached number 199 on the top 200 chart in Billboard magazine. Then it disappeared. But for those who were looking for something other than the sugary pop that was being played on AM radio, and who didn't like the acid wash of psychedelic rock, the Velvet Underground represented something new and important. No one really knew what it all meant, but there was something to what they were doing. Not sure what it was, but it was there. David Bowie got it. He was a fan of a song called Scoring Smack called Waiting for the Man as early as a few months after the record came out. Iggy Pop got it. He loved that first Velvet's record. He saw them play live in April of 1967. And by that summer, the Iguanas were gone, and Iggy was in a new band called the Psychedelic Stooges. And they played their first show at a private party that Halloween. It wasn't very good. So bad that their manager quit and went back to his job as a school teacher. The first proper public performance came in March of 1968. The opening act for this show was a food processor. Somebody set up a blender filled with a little bit of water and let it roar through the PA for about 15 minutes. When the Stooges finally came on, Iggy was wearing a nightshirt and golf shoes and white mime makeup and a big Afro wig made out of tinfoil. Drummer Scott Ashton kept time by banging on a couple of 50-gallon oil drums with hammers instead of drumsticks. Didn't go that well. But that didn't stop the Stooges. Stories of Iggy's extreme stage antics began to circulate. The stage diving, the self-mutilation, the glitter dust, the broken glass, the times Iggy smeared peanut butter or raw meat all over his bruised and bleeding body. This wasn't anything mainstream bands like the Beatles or the Stones were doing. And the hippie groups certainly weren't into this kind of thing either. This was crazy. The cops, who continually busted Iggy for indecent exposure, had never seen anything like it. They didn't know what to do with him. Now, forgive the poor quality of this recording, but you have to hear what the Stooges sounded like live. Here they are doing the title track of their 1973 album, Raw Power. Okay, that's Iggy Pop and the Stooges performing in front of a very violent and angry biker gang in 1973. If you listen to the rest of that tape, you can actually hear the bottles smashing on the stage. Another Detroit area group that made waves in the mid and late 60s was the MC5. They were loud, they were profane, and they were highly political in a left-wing, super radical kind of way. Somehow, they were signed to a big record deal in 1968. This was at around the same time as they appeared at the ill-fated Democratic National Convention in Chicago as guests of the White Panther Party. They were able to release exactly one album under their new deal. Then they were dropped after they wrote a vulgar letter on company letterhead and delivered it to record stores that refused to stock their album. But of course, stunts like that only enhanced their street cred. From 1968, this is the MC5 from Kick Out the Jams. MC5, whose debut record was a live album. Imagine doing that today. By the end of the 1960s, there was a growing number of music fans who were bored with conventional rock and pop. They reveled in being different and liking different things. And the more disagreeable their tastes were to the mainstream and to hippie culture, the better. As extreme as Iggy and the Stooges were, as raw as the Velvets were, and as politically radical the MC5 might have been, nothing was quite as weird as what you're going to hear next. Hold on.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
No one knows more about this shit than Alan Cross.
107.3, The Edge.
How does an event get noticed? Chorus Creative. Video, audio, digital, whatever your event needs, we create it. Click to choruscreative.ca. Chorus Creative. We create.
Members get more at Calgary Co-op, but with the app, you can get more than ever, especially with our new stamp card challenges. Activate them in the app to earn a stamp every time you buy a featured product. Fill up your card and get the next one free. Like right now, when you buy 5 boxes of Quaker granola bars, the 6th one's on us. Download the app and keep checking back for new ways to save at Calgary Co-op, where members get more. Calgary Co-op app download and registration required.
And we're back.
I've got to say, what a thrill.
Couldn't agree more, Jeff. My blood is pumping.
Canadian Blood Services needs 450 new donors every day to keep Canada's lifeline strong.
And in the final quarter of the day, we have 55 left to... What's that?
Is that a new donor?
It's a new donor.
We're at 396. Only 54 left to go.
This is the 450 Challenge. Let's get Canada's blood pumping.
Book an appointment today at blood.ca/450.
Attack winter. Drive with ice in your veins. In any condition, 4MATIC reacts so you don't have to. You can feel the power and amplified traction. From daily commutes to weekend adventures in the mountains, Mercedes-Benz vehicles thrive in winter. Lone Star Mercedes-Benz has an ultimate winter driving machine with your name on it. Snow, no problem. When you're in a Mercedes-Benz, you're in control. And when the temps drop, 4MATIC rises.
I wanna see you bring the
heat.
I wanna see you bring the flavor.
Dish it out. It's okay, chef. No comment.
Dig it.
This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh my God.
If you don't know the story,
wow.
You really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Think Turkey, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
107.3 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
As the 1960s came to a close, a growing number of free-thinking people began to realize that maybe the mainstream rock scene wasn't for them. They wanted something different, something challenging. And in the fall of 1969, their prayers were answered. That October, a California sculptor-turned-musician named Captain Beefheart released an album that was so strange that it immediately became an underground classic. Most who heard this album, which is called Trout Mask Replica, found it to be absolutely, completely, and undeniably unlistenable. But many people, like the future Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols, bought it and played it because it was unlistenable. This record cleared the room at any party, and even today it's tough to listen, but the 28 songs on this single album simply opened the eyes of a few to new possibilities. Now, naturally, I need to play something for you. There is nothing wrong with your equipment. There's nothing wrong with my equipment. This is supposed to sound like this. From Trout Mask Replica, this is Captain Beefheart and Frownland.
My smile is stuck. I cannot go back to your frownland. My spear is made up. And the sky, and the sun, and the moon, and all I can see. I cannot go back to your land of gloom, where black jagged shadows remind me of the coming of your doom. I want my own. Too late for me to find my homeland. Where man can stand by another man without an ego flying. With no man lying. And no one dying by an earthly hand. Let the devil burn and a beggar learn. And the little girls are living low, low world. I cannot go back to your frown land. I cannot go back to your frown land.
You see what I mean? Captain Beefheart from Trout Mask Replica, his 1969 album that set an interesting standard in something. And again, it's important because a lot of people who would later go on to do cool things bought that album and absorbed it. Hey, you know who we haven't talked about for a while? David Bowie. What was he up to while Captain Beefheart, the MC5, and the Stooges and the Velvet Underground were making records? Well, he was trying to find himself. He was trying to come up with an image and a style and a sound that would work for him, and he wasn't doing very well. Take this attempt at something. from 1967. Oh, Davey.
I was walking down the high street when I heard footsteps behind me. Well, he trotted back to my house, and he sat beside the deli with his tiny hands on his tummy, chuckling away, laughing all day. I ought to report you to the gnome office. I'm a laughing gnome, and you can't catch me. Said the laughing gnome. Well, I gave him roasted toadstools and a glass of dandelion wine. Then I put him on a train to Eastbourne, carried his bag and gave him a fag.
Have you got a light, boy?
Yeah, where do you come from?
No man's land.
Oh, really? In the morning, when I woke up, he was sitting on the edge of my bed with his brother whose name was Fred. He brought him along to sing me a song. All right, let's hear it. Yeah, what's that clicking noise? I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me. Haven't you got a gnome to go to?
No, we're nomads.
Didn't they teach you to get your hair cut at school? You look like a rolling gnome.
Yeah, not at the London School of Economics.
Now they're staying up with chimney, and we're living on caviar and honey. Because they're earning me lots of money, fighting comedy pros for radio shows. It's the gnome service, of course.
Released on April 14th, 1967. That's David Bowie with The Laughing Gnome. That was a desperate attempt to land a song on the charts, but it didn't work. Neither did dancing or working as a mime. Yeah, Bowie thought that there was a career in being a mime. A few months after The Laughing Gnome was released, Bowie found work writing music for a few BBC TV shows. At night, he appeared in a coffeehouse trio known as Feathers. And when he needed extra cash, he worked at a company called Legistat Document Copiers. His job was to copy legal papers for a variety of law firms. But the thing that saved Bowie from a life of photocopying and mime abuse was the American Space Program. And that's where we'll start Chapter 2. Back in a moment.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
We're all doing some learning.
107.3, The Edge.
I want to see you bring the heat. I want to see you bring the flavor.
Dish it out.
It's okay, chef.
No comment.
Dig it.
This is a delicious flavor.
Bring it.
Oh, my God.
If you don't know the story,
wow,
you really don't know the dish.
Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Is that registered?
Brought to you by Pandora, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
House of Cars has vehicles for everyone. Are you looking for a Lamborghini? House of Cars can help you out. Need a pickup for work? House of Cars has those too. How about a Civic to get around town in? House of Cars has what you're looking for. From high-end to affordable and everything in between. When you're looking for quality, pre-owned vehicles, remember House of Cars is the dealership for everyone.
Have a look at cars for sale right now at houseofcars.com.
Kids Up Front presents
thank you letters from the kids themselves.
Dear kids of Friends, thank you for the tickets for the play. I love fairy tales. My favorite part was with Red Riding Hood and the wolf. I watched the movie next day too.
Help make a core memory today by donating your tickets, money, or time. Visit kidsupfrontcalgary.com.
More than a ticket.
Celebrate the 2025 Chinese New Year with Cowboys Casino on January 31st at 6 p.m. To spread the luck, Cowboys Casino is handing out over 170 lucky envelopes at 6 and 8 p.m., including two golden tickets worth $288 each. Plus, you won't want to miss the Lion and Dragon Dance and meet the God of Luck to bring extra fortune your way. Come join the fun and bring in the new year with good fortune at Cowboys Casino.
1073 The Edge.
The ongoing history of alternative rock with Alan Cross.
See what I mean about the roots of what we now call alt-rock or modern rock or alternative music go back further than most people realize? And we're not even out of the 1960s yet. On Chapter 2 of The Complete History of Alt-Rock, we'll find out how the Apollo space program saved David Bowie, thereby setting him up to be one of the most important artists of the 1970s. We'll spend some time in New York trying to figure out how Bowie, Iggy Pop, and the Velvet Underground all colluded in a very important way. And there are the guys from Queens who dressed in spandex and wore makeup like girls. Very important. That's coming next time on The Complete History of Alt-Rock. If you want more like this, there are hundreds of ongoing History of New Music podcasts available for free. All the platforms have them. Make sure you follow and like the feed so you never miss an episode. Plus, if you can rate and review, that would be great. We can meet up on all the social media channels. There's my website, ajournalofmusicalthings.com. It's updated every day. Plus, there's the free daily newsletter that goes with it. And I have another podcast. It looks at the intersection of music and true crime. Look for Uncharted Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry, wherever you get your podcasts. And I welcome any emails, too. Drop me a line at alan@alancross.ca. Technical productions by Rob Johnston. We'll talk to you next time. I'm Alan Cross.
The ongoing history of alternative rock.
Sundays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on 107.3 The Edge.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
107.3 The Edge, Calgary's iconic alternative.
Kings of all treasures buried, and all you hear are the rusted breezes pushing around the weather vane Jesus. The simple lighter sees the killer's face. Maybe it's someone standing in a killer's place. 20 years for nothing, well, that's nothing new. Besides, no one's interested in something you didn't do. We came. It's a museum and we're all locked up in it after dark. The walls are lined all yellow, gray, and sinister, hung with pictures of our parents' prime minister. We kings and pretty things.
Late breaking story on the CBC. A nation whispers we always knew that he'd go free. They add you can't be fond of living in the past. Cause if you are, then there's no way that you're gonna last. We kings and pretty men. Let's just see what tomorrow brings. We kings and pretty men. Oh, that's what tomorrow
Calgary.
I would love to introduce you all to the future.
Okay.
Hi, Dave Matthews here.
Hi, this is David Byrne.
Hi, this is Gwen Stefani from No Doubt.
Calgary's iconic alternative.
107.3, The Edge.
No, I'm not.
107.3, The Edge, Calgary's iconic alternative.